WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
First-time novelists are lucky if they get any attention at all. Donna Tartt is getting a lot of attention for her new novel, The Secret History. She even got a $450,000 advance. Our book critic, John Leonard, read the book to see if it measures up to all the hoopla.
Never mind that Donna Tartt's first novel is dedicated to Bret Easton Ellis, and that somebody very much like the Brat Pack bad boy shows up in its pages as a dope pusher with mob connections. Never mind either that Hampton College in Tartt's Secret History sounds a lot like the Camden College we heard about in Ellis's novel Rules of Attraction, and in Jill Eisenstadt's novel From Rockaway, in which there was also a character a lot like Ellis. And never mind, while you're at it, that Hampton and Camden in Vermont both resemble Bennington, which is the college in Vermont where Tartt, Ellis, and Eisenstadt were also unhappy. Never mind, at least for a while, because during the first third of her 524-page novel, Tartt, not at all like Ellis and Eisenstadt, is actually writing about education. We spend time in a classroom listening to a professor. Students even discuss the books they're reading as if there were a point to college. Abstract ideas about beauty and terror and the ancient Greeks are entertained as if there were something else to do with your mind besides blowing it. And over these pages there is a golden glow, like the young Fitzgerald or Evelyn Waugh in Brideshead Revisited. No wonder poor Richard, from the wrong side of the California tracks, is taken in by such princely hothouse figures as Henry and Francis and Bunny and Charles and Camilla. Even when this gilded group manages, by accident, in the middle of an attempt at recreating the Dionysian revels, to murder and dismember a New England chicken farmer, well, Richard forgives them. And when, to protect themselves, they throw one of their own over a cliff, Richard will assist them, as languid in his ambivalence as the pale Camilla. The Secret History doesn't go entirely downhill in its last several hundred pages. There are patches of terrific landscape writing, some interesting weather, a very funny TV quiz show, and a perfectly dreadful funeral. But comeuppance for this vampire support group is a long time come-upping. And as guilt takes over, so does an excess of drinking and drugging, of contempt and disdain, of violence and sexual misadventure equally unhappy whether it's straight or gay or incestuous. I don't blame these Bennington Brat Pack novelists for festering together in downtown New York after-hours clubs and sneaking each other into their books. It causes publishing industry buzz, as well as review attention. And young writers have always slummed together, seeming to move in a mass like thick-skinned ungulates. It was the same in Paris before the Revolution, when everybody wrote pornography, and after World War II, when everybody was absurd. It happened, too, in St. Petersburg, when Belinsky got mad at Gogol, for which Dostoevsky was almost shot, and in Sussex, where Joseph Conrad, Henry James, and H.G. Wells combed each other's thinning hair. In Bloomsbury and Dingling's China and the Algonquin Hotel, on the French Riviera, at the Partisan Review, and among the North Beach Beats. But while we're waiting around for one of these ungulates to turn into a unicorn, I do feel sorry for poor Bennington.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning.